بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Would like to welcome you to another edition of Make Up Your Mind Q&A session. This program is brought to you by Ola Milky Lane. Alhamdulillah, today, the 29th of Ramadan al-Mubarak, we are indeed very, very fortunate that we have with us right here amongst us in our midst our learned scholar of Sharia, a scholar who is very, very well known nationally and internationally, and that is our guest, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas Saab, Hafizahullah. Inshallah, today we will be beginning. Hazrat Mufti Saab will be speaking to us on Eid al-Fitr for approximately 10 to 15 minutes. Thereafter, our lines will be open where you could call on 208-4564, and you can have an opportunity to ask your questions directly to Hazrat Mufti Saab pertaining right now, if we are looking at Eid al-Fitr or Sadqatul Fitr, whatever your question may be. And for those that intend to go for Hajj, well, this is an opportunity for you right now to get yourself ready, and inshallah, when you do go or when you leave for this pilgrimage, you will know exactly what you need to do. And when you do reach the Holy Land, there will be no need for you then to ask questions. And at times we are told that sometimes when you go for Hajj, everyone wants to be a Mufti. Well, here we have with us a certified Mufti, someone who is well known, as I've mentioned, nationally and internationally, known by the Jamiat al-Ulama, whether it be KZN, whether it's Johannesburg, wherever it may be. Right now, we would like to welcome Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas Saab, Hafizahullah. Hazrat Mufti Saab, Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa Alaikum Assalam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
Hazrat Mufti Saab, it is indeed a very great honor and pleasure for Radio Al-Ansar for us to have you here. And Alhamdulillah, I'm sure in this hour we will receive your blessings from Hazrat Mufti Saab. Hazrat Mufti Saab, to begin, if Hazrat Mufti Saab would perhaps speak to us on Eid al-Fitr.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmadu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Amma ba'd. First of all, before I comment on the hadith relating to the Eid, would like to mention something. That as Muslims, we are completely a different nation, and as Muslims, we have got a unique way. As Muslims, we are unique in everything. As Muslims, we have got a different set of aqaids, beliefs. As Muslims, our living is different. Our walking is different, our talking is different. As Muslims, our celebration is different, our joyous occasions are different. As Muslims, our dressing is different, our behavior is different. As Muslims, our pilgrimage is different, our salah is different, our charity is different. As Muslims, our eating is different, and in practically every aspect, the Sharia is directing us that we are unique. For example, in the month of Ramadan, hadith is very clear that partake of Sehri. Partake of Sehri, the pre-tiffin meal, because the Ahl Kitab do not do so. Another hadith, partake of Sehri, in it lies barakah. Obviously, there is physical, bodily benefits in it, but Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not mention the physical or bodily benefits, but Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned a usuli principle that partake of it because the Ahl Kitab do not do it, meaning act contrary to them. Also, the iftari. Another hadith, before I talk of the iftari concerning the sari, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that delay when partaking the sehri, meaning that try as far as possible that to make it as late as possible. Obviously, you're not going to invalidate your fast by crossing the time limit. Now, concerning iftari, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that as soon as the sun sets and the iftari time sets in, then break your fast. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here again stated what? That break your fast, do not delay. So there is delay there in sehri, that we must make delay to the last time. And there is here, do not delay when opening the fast, do it quickly. Make haste in it. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that do so because the Jews, they delay. And let alone the Jews, in our time, the certain people who claim to be Muslims also delay. So we're getting in the Shariat that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying something, that we have to act contrary to those who are not believers. And numerous other ahadiths can be brought forward stating that we should be acting contrary. For example, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that the difference between Muslims and Jews is turbans over heads, meaning that when the Jews wear the turban, they don't use a head, and when the Muslim wears a turban, he uses a head. Another hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that act contrary to the mushrikeen. Trim your mustaches and forgive your beards. Forgive your beards meaning let your beard flow. Now, externally, we are supposed to be looking different from the non-Muslims. And internally, our Aqeedah is completely different. We are believers in Tawheed, Risalat, Akhirat, that the Usul al-Deen. Now, coming to the night of Eid, preceding the day of Eid. Obviously, this is Eid al-Fitr, meaning the breaking. Fitr means to break, to terminate, to end. Now, hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that the fasting person experiences two joys. One at the time of iftari, and the second when he is going to meet his Rabb. Obviously, naturally, physically, when a person after fasting, especially when it is hot and scorching, and the first person had some difficulty, then at the time of iftari, the person is very, very happy, he is joyous, and he will physically enjoy his food. But not realizing that tremendous reward he is getting for fasting. That we do not see, so we don't realize. Yeah, we'd like to mention something, that the second part of the hadith is saying that he will be very delightful and joyous when he meets his Rabb. Considering other a'mal in Shariat, actions in Shariat, whatever the action be, in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will get the reward stipulated. For example, if you read the Awabin Salat, then a mansion will be built for you in Jannah. And you make certain askar, then there will be trees planted for you in Jannah. Now, there is the amal, and then you get the reward, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the reward by way of similitude, analogy, example. But as far as fasting is concerned, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not state anything about the reward. Why? Because on the day of judgment, Allah, Allah alone, and He will give the reward to the fasting one. Because ulama have stated, the person who is fasting cannot display any show, pomp, glory. And the person who is fasting, he cannot now go about and say that I know I'm fasting. However, in other acts of ibadat, the element and possibility and probability of showing off can take place. For example, you go to a person who has come back from Hajj, what he says that, oh, he will tell his son in front of you that go and bring that musalla which I had got from my 10th Hajj, informing you nicely that he went for 10 Hajjas. Then, even in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he went to the masjid and he saw one person sitting in the masjid and with his head bowed down. And you see this happening a lot of times in our masajid too. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu called that person, told him, come here. Person came to him and said, what you bow your head down for? He said, no, I want to focus. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, don't do this in the masjid. If you want to do such things, then go somewhere else. Meaning that don't show display. Like some people, when they stand for salat, and when they're standing, you think they're falling about, and they want to fall into ruku. This is all show business as far as making salat, etc. How Shariat wants us to make salat, that's how you make salat. Not that externally show that you are very pious, that stand in the first surf and drop the containers in the morning. Respected elders, fasting, we cannot have any show business. Now the hadith is saying that a person, the hadith comes in Ibn Majah, hadith comes in Tibrani, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that person who makes ibadat on the nights of Eid. According to some scholars, that the person who makes ibadat on the night of Eid is like the one who has stood up in Laylatul Qadr for ibadat. Hadith is saying that by making ibadat on the night of Eid, that the person on the day of judgment, when hearts will be dead, that person's heart will be alive. And the ulama have stated, on that day, when that person will be gloomy and dark, and they'll be sad and sorrowful, grieving, on that day, that person, because he made ibadat on the night of Eid, he'll be happy, joyous, his face will be bright and shining, illuminating, and he will not be concerned and worried, just for making ibadat on the night of Eid. Initially, when I started speaking, I mentioned one usul, one principle. I said that in everything we are different from the non-Muslims. And now, take the festivals of the non-Muslims, take the celebrations of the non-Muslims, take their joyous occasions, and especially the night before the day. On their nights, there is murder, there is rape, there is womanizing, there is alcohol drinking, there is vulgarity, there is nudity, pornography, there is adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, all going on in a high, high level. You read in the next day papers after their festival seasons or their activities, how much crime took place in the night. And they say, no, that they are celebrating. Yeah, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that if your celebration for us is what? On the night of Eid, make some ibadat. So, clearly denoting that there is some differences. Now, our Eid itself, alhamdulillah, is completely different. In our Eid day, we do not get drunk. We do not fight, quarrel. We do not get abusive. We do not get vulgar. No murder takes place amongst Muslims on the Eid day. In fact, there is harmony, cooperation, love, brotherhood, and there is so much of goodwill and feeling of niceties, respected elders. And what Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prescribed the Shariat for us, that on some day of Eid, that we make 2 rakats extra wajib. Some day of Eid, we make in the 2 rakats extra takbirat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a directive here, that our joyous occasion is that occasion wherein we praise Allah more and we make extra salat. Now, clearly demarcating the difference between our festivity and the festivity of the non-Muslims, our way of life and the way of life of the non-Muslims, that we Muslims must realize something, that we are completely different. We are unique. Our eating is different. How come? We eat halal, we do not eat haram. We do not eat anything and everything. And our dressing is different. Sharia has prescribed a dressing to imitate, emulate Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then for the male there are parameters, for females there are parameters and boundaries for dressing. Our ibadat is different, our fasting is different, our hajj is different, everything is different. And now, alhamdulillah, we are coming to the end of Ramadan. And just to recap what we're supposed to be doing, that after Ramadan, we should not forget what we are doing in Ramadan. After the day of Eid, it does not mean now suspend Zuhr Salat or Asr Salat. Just as we have been regular in the month of Ramadan, we should draw a timetable and say that if I was able to do it in Ramadan, then I can do it outside Ramadan. If I was able to read Quran in Ramadan, I can do it outside Ramadan. If I can stand 20 rakats Taraweeh in Ramadan, at least I can make my Isha Salat with Jamaat outside Ramadan. So the achievement will come now, and the results and fructification of our ibadat in Ramadan will come after Ramadan, when we will be able to see the asarat, the effects and the influence of Ramadan, what it had for us. So we should make one very great effort that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to understand what is Eid, and also to make firm resolutions that we are going to become pious, righteous Muslims even after Ramadan.
You are with us on Make Up Your Mind Q&A session. This program is brought to you by Ola Milky Lane. Right now, as we had mentioned earlier, we do have with us in the studios our learned scholar, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas Sahab, Hafizahullah. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, we have received an email. It says, respected Mufti Sahab, Assalamu Alaikum. There's quite a few. There's about 6 questions. Number one is, they would like to know exactly who are the kuffar, mushrik, and disbeliever.
Disbeliever, will start with disbeliever, means kafir. Kafir, basically, in Arabic, this word kafir also refers to a farmer. And in Arabic, we call, technically speaking, a kafir a farmer. The reason why we call the farmer kafir in Arabic, because he literally takes the seed and he hides it from the sun. So he denies the seed from the sunlight. And the kafir takes the seed and puts it under the earth, and the sun is not able to reach it. So in this proceedings, he denies the seed and rejects the existence of the sun. Similarly, a kafir rejects the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he becomes a disbeliever. The next one is a mushrik. Mushrik is a person who ascribes partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as far as partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got attributes, sifat. And these sifat are divided into 2 categories. One is special sifat, and one is sifat khasa, sifat amma. One is special sifat, and one is general sifat. Now, general sifat, for example, mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. The mother is also merciful. So that will not tantamount to any shirk. For example, a person, he wants a glass of water. Now, he can ask his Muslim brother or any person for a glass of water. That is not shirk. Yes, when there is a special quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then that person attributes that special quality to any other person, then that will mean he's committing shirk. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the fulfiller of needs. He is the only one who fulfills the needs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only is the one who removes difficulties. So, you cannot say someone else removes difficulties. If you say that, you are committing shirk. The third one, what is the third one?
The kuffar, mushrik, and disbeliever. Exactly who are the kuffar, mushrik, and disbeliever.
Kuffar, disbeliever, we have classified what I defined it.
Okay, the next one, Hazrat Mufti Sahab. Are all persons who are not Muslim in the above category. But before that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, we do have an anonymous caller online. Anonymous, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Sister, you may go ahead with your question.
Okay, I want to know, is it permissible for a woman in the state of haze to, if she's wearing clothes before she takes a ghusl bath, is it permissible for her to wear afterwards? And the second question is, what kind of material can she touch, for example, if there's a book, for example, about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there's Quranic verses in it, is it permissible for her to read this book?
The first question, can you just explain a little bit more?
Okay. If a woman is wearing an abaya, for example, before she takes a ghusl bath, and if she's in the state of haze, will it be permissible for her to wear the same abaya after she takes a bath?
Okay, now I understood. Yeah, I'll answer it.
Okay.
JazakAllah, sister, for calling.
The first question, yes, definitely she can wear that abaya again. And secondly, that any kitab, for example, she wants to read a kitab on Sirat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is permissible to touch and read the kitab. Ji.
Hazrat Mufti Sahib, I'm not too sure, Brother Ibrahim, Mita, whether we have another caller or not. Well, we're moving on to the next question. Mufti Sahib, this question was, I think, pertaining to the first one. This brother wants to know, are all persons who are not Muslim in the above category, meaning in the category of Kuffar, Mushrik or Disbeliever?
Are all
persons who are not Muslim in the above category.
Now, we will get various divisions. For example, make a simple definition that those are Muslims and those others are not Muslims. That's a big category. After that, we get Kafir, Mushrik, and then you're going to get those who are Murtadeen, those who have renounced Islam, which he has not mentioned in his email. And those who have been declared as Kafir, those who have been declared as Kafirs. For example, those who do not believe in the finality of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have been declared as Kafirs. They themselves say, no, we are Muslims. For example, those who say that non-Nabis are higher than the Nabis in status, now they have been declared as Kafirs. And those who state, for example, that the Quran is abrogated or the Quran is not completed, they, as far as they're concerned, they are very good Muslims. Now, the ulama have declared them as Kafirs.
JazakAllah for that. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, we do have another anonymous caller online. Anonymous, assalamu alaikum.
Wa salam. Am I on the line?
Yes, you're on the line.
All right. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahib and Hafiz Wadi. You are doing very good job. I want to ask a question is, on behalf of certain good friend of mine, these two brothers are equal partners in one supermarket they are running. They are both equal partners in a big supermarket. So I wanted to clarify this. There's a slight dispute between these two brothers. One brother, the big brother, want to have a sort of a show with a non-Muslim radio, like Radio Lotus, on the spot with a lady announcement, playing all the music and giving big prizes to the public, Muslim, non-Muslim, ladies, men. They are giving a lot of prizes on the spot by the supermarket. They are giving, you know, once in every 2-3 months. Now the one brother agrees, one brother doesn't want to agree. So they told me to just clarify, this is allowed in Islam or is it haram to give this sort of prize and this music, they are playing all this kuffar music and the lady with the Muslim lady from Radio Lotus also 1 hour show on the radio too and 1 hour show on the supermarket. Number one. Number two, this big brother also giving lot of prizes to this kuffar sport, non-Muslim sport like cricket and soccer matches. Every 5-6 months they give big amount as a donation to this kuffar sport, to this non-Muslim soccer and cricket matches and all. Now the smaller brother is not happy about it, that the big brother doing it. So they want to clarify this, that this is allowed in Islam or this is, you know, we are following the method of this kuffar like how the non-Muslim do, you know. Big company, they have these shows on the spot and all that, this musical show. And costing a lot of money and the small brother is not happy about it.
JazakAllah for that, brother. Hazrat Mufti
Sahib. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As far as the first question is concerned, then first of all I would like to advise the callers that when we call, then we should be more general in our questioning. The listeners must not be able to find out who are the brothers involved, etc. And we should just make statements like two brothers or two people or two persons. And by giving so much details, unfortunately, sometimes it may cause further disunity and may cause making dua that Allah grants risk and halal and tayyib and wasiya, that Allah grants risk which is permissible, which is wide, which is wholesome, which is pure and not tarnished with any haram, by inviting females and then attaching them with the musical programs and then promoting the supermarket or whatever the firm. This is absolutely not permissible, and the brothers should make a commitment that we are going to be adhering and following Sharia and not trying to follow the ways of kuffar, etc., to raise money. As far as funding the vain activities and futile activities, whether it is kuffar sports or Muslim sports, now once it is done on a high level, then definitely a Muslim must not be taking his hard-earned money and spending it on vain, futile activity which is eventually going to cause people to forget the remembrance of Allah and not perform the salat in time. Ad-dalu ala al-khayr kafailihi, ad-dalu ala al-shar kafailihi. The person who points towards the good is like the doer of the action, and the person who points towards the evil is like the doer of the evil. Now, if a person is involved in funding something that is haram, he will get, or advertising for something that is haram, he will get this the guna for that haram perpetrated.
That's Mufti sir. Right now, we do have a caller online. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. I'm a non-Muslim.
Yes.
I like to remain anonymous. I'm just very curious about something.
Yes.
I listen to you on the radio. Why do you have to, before Eid or to establish Eid, why do you have to start the moon first? I listen on the radio.
Yes, thank you very
much. And I also find your program very enlightening. I enjoy it very much.
Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Bye. You're welcome. Hazrat Mufti sir,
that the Arabs utilized the lunar calendar, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not change that system. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that see the moon and fast. That means that will denote the starting of Ramadan. And then he said, see the moon and stop fasting. That will denote the end of Ramadan and starting of the next month called Shawwal. Now, this method of seeing, even in this age of technology advancement and sophistication, it is such a universal, simple formula that a person living in Congo or the villages of Tanzania or out there in Dar es Salaam in the villages or anywhere, any part of the world, he will know that I just have to see the moon and it will denote the starting of Ramadan. And after 28 days, I'll start looking for the moon again. And by the 29th or the 30th, we'll see it. And that will terminate the month. So this is a simple, uniform, universal formula. So that the principle that is maintained, la haraja fi deen, there is no difficulty in deen. There is no difficulty in religion. Islam is simple, easy, and for everyone. That is why we use the lunar calendar.
Shukran, jazakallah for that to Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Alhamdulillah, we are very pleased that we also have non-Muslim listeners that are listening into our program. Well, you are welcome. You are more than welcome to call in with whatever questions that you may have about Islam, about the Quran, about Sharia. We do have our learned scholar right here, inshallah, who will kindly answer your questions. 446, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, moving on to the next question from that email that we had received. If a person believes in one God, it says in brackets Allah, but is not Muslim, which category does he fall in?
In order to be a Muslim, we have to understand his definition. Now this discussion actually came up in the court case in Cape Town, that who is a Muslim? And the definition, the ulama ikram, and there were ulama ikram for all parts of the world, and the definition comes in Kitab al-Jihad in Tahawi, that a person who is a Muslim who believes firmly in whatever Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, Jamia ma jaa bi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that everything which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, a person testifies to that, acknowledges that, then he becomes a Muslim. Now this will mean that a person cannot say that I only believe in Allah and that is sufficient for survival. In this age, only believing in Tawheed, only believing in Allah is not sufficient for survival and for salvation. A person has to believe in Jamia ma jaa bi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, completely. And if a person, in order for a person to leave Islam, it is very easy. But a person to stay in Islam, he has to believe in many things. Person does not believe in azab e qabr, leaves the fold of Islam. Person does not believe in something that has been proven categorically in Islam, will leave Islam. So a person cannot say, I believe in Allah, that is sufficient.
Jazakallah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. We do have another caller online. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, brother, go ahead with your question.
Okay, I got two questions for the Hazrat, right? Is it possible can a non-Muslim fast? That's the first question. Is it possible can a non-Muslim perform Salah? And number two, what I didn't make a non-Muslim woman perform Salah with me, but I made her read the Kalimas. Can the Hazrat give me those answers? Jazakallah.
I'm sure, inshallah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib will try his best to answer those questions. Hazrat Mufti Sahib.
See, for a non-Muslim to fast, and if you encourage some non-Muslim to fast, then the benefit they will receive is only physical and bodily. They will not be receiving any ruhaniyat benefit, because ruhaniyat, spiritual benefit, is basically based upon aqeedah. Now when the person has got aqeedah which is of the Muslim, then he becomes a recipient of the spiritual benefits of fasting. For example, if a person has got mirror and the sun is shining, then inshallah there will be some reflection taking place. But if a person has got a dark surface and the sun is shining, then no reflection or very little reflection will be taking place. Similarly, if a person who is a Muslim and fast, then he will get the spiritual ruhaniyat benefit. But if a person is not a Muslim and he fast, or she fast, then they will be able to get bodily benefits, like how the hungry are feeling, how the thirsty are feeling, how the poor and the destitute are feeling. They'll get those types of benefit, but ruhaniyat they will not get. And we should be trying to encourage people to become Muslims, and if they have to fast without becoming Muslims, they'll find it very, very difficult. And the second part of the question, that first of all, I do not know how you managed this, that you made a female perform Salat, first a female, a stranger, kafira, that what you were doing alone with her, and what, how come you got her to make Salat with you, and this is very strange, because first of all, you're not supposed to be alone with her, and secondly, why are you making her make a Salat? You may find this a bit hard, but the rules of Sharia are very clear and simple. That, and also making her perform Salat, then there is no actually any benefit for her besides the, again, physical benefit. Ji.
Hazrat Mufti Sahib, Jazakallah for that. Brother Ibrahim, do you have another caller? Yes, we do have another caller online. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, sister. Go ahead with your question.
I would like to remain anonymous.
Yes, you may do so.
I want to know why is it that every time a proposal comes and when I do accept, it doesn't work out? Regardless that I do read istikhara as well. I would like to hear it, put the phone in now.
The istikhara that you read, it shows positive or what? The istikhara that you are reading, is it positive?
No. It's a lot of confusion. It's like mixed answers.
Okay, I will explain istikhara, then I'll explain some answer.
JazakAllah, sister, for calling in. Hazrat Mufti sir.
See, understand few things, few basic things about istikhara firstly. Istikhara obviously will be made about permissible activities, whether I should do it or not. Istikhara cannot be done for haram activities. Person cannot make istikhara that I'm going to rob one bank and make istikhara whether I should do it or not. Person should not make istikhara that I'm going to do some evil action. Obviously, that will be a big sin if he does that. And that will tend about to make mockery of deen. For permissible activity, istikhara will be made. Now, after making the istikhara salat and dua, the person will sleep and do not expect Jibreel alayhi salam to come and answer you, or Malaika to come and talk to you, or to have one kaleidoscope visionary dream that what was going to happen. People think istikhara means dream. Wrong. Istikhara does not mean dream. Istikhara means that inclination. When you get up, what is the inclination? Must I do it or not? And the sister in question should not feel disappointed, because everything happens by the will of Allah and by the wisdom of Allah. And getting proposals and then being switched off, you should not feel despondent at all. لا تقلقوا من رحمة الله. Do not be despondent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is our creator. Allah will find the right person for you. Just do those things which are shari, correct. Allah will give a lot of barakat in it.
Inshallah. It's 4:53 right now. Once again, this Make Up Your Mind Q&A session is brought to you by Ola Milky Lane. We have Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyasab Hafizahullah with us in the studios. If you do have any questions to our Muslim and non-Muslim listeners, especially to our non-Muslim listeners, it's an opportunity for you. If you would like to know anything about Islam, since Islam is always in the media, the electronic media, wherever you look, it's always Islam. Right now we do have a caller online. Assalamu alaikum. Ibrahim, do we have a caller online? It looks like we don't have a... Okay, we do not have a caller online. The only thing that we can see, Hazrat Mufti Saab, I think the question with regard to the caste system, or the problem that the caste system has created. Will Mufti Saab perhaps want to say a few words on that?
Until I hear what was the difficulty, then I can comment. Otherwise, inshallah, I do not want to make some general statements.
Okay, inshallah. Right now, Hazrat Mufti Saab, we have approximately 6 minutes to go. I think we're going to move on to the next question from our email. It says that if a person is not Muslim, can he ever still be described as a believer because he believes in one God? I think we have answered that, Hazrat Mufti Saab.
There's a difference here between this question and the other one, that yeah, you will not call that person a believer, because we will say that a believer is a Muslim because he will have to believe in entirety of what Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought. Now that person, he himself may say, I'm a believer, but in Islam he will not be classified as a Muslim nor as a believer.
JazakAllah for that. The next question that we have, is it compulsory to sleep in Mina for 3 nights? Can one sleep in Mecca on the second and third night and just go to Mina to do the pelting?
For Hanafis, it is sunnah to stay in Mina. For Shafis, it is wajib. Shafis will have to come back to Mina and spend at least some part of the night, a little portion of the night in Mina. For Hanafis, now remember clearly that although it is sunnah, and if you leave it out, there is no dham. There is no valid excuse currently, unless the person is ill, or he has got some ailment, or there is some dire necessity, then only he should go and try and stay in Aziziya or Makkah. But if a person is healthy, fit, then there is no cause, no reason, no shari valid reason for him not to be staying in Mina and fulfilling the sunnah. Astonishing is Muslim that he goes once in a lifetime for Hajj and he wants to discard the sunnah during the 5 days of Hajj. He saves up so much money, but he goes to Mina and does not want to stay in Mina. And these days in Mina, the kingdom has provided fiberglass air-conditioned tents, which are excellent, and some of those tents, conditions and facilities and amenities are better than some of the amenities available in Aziziya or Makkah.
JazakAllah for that. Mufti Saab, our last question and then perhaps Mufti Sahib can conclude. What is the best way to strengthen your practice of Islam?
Very simple this, and very valid question, that what is first, do that. First things first. So what is first? Our salat. And for the men, make it with jamaat, and become very, very particular, regular, constant in performing salat with jamaat, and do not even think of missing it, missing any of your salat. And obviously after that, what is wajib, start doing that. Wajib, for example, the witr salat, growing of the beard, and also then comes sunnat muakkida, put all pressure upon making the sunnat muakkida. Now concerning this, these practices, we start with salat, start with our external. If a person upon him is hajj, his faraz, go do that. If a person has to pay zakat, pay zakat. If a person upon him sadqat al-fitr is compulsory, do that. So keep the golden rule. I am going to do first things first in Islam, and sooner or later you'll be able to have a practical Islamic environment in your home, and you'll change automatically.
Jazakallah for that. To Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas Sahib Hafizahullah, we'd like to take this opportunity on behalf of Radio Al Ansar and the technicians and myself, wishing Hazrat Mufti Sahib Eidun Sa'idun for the day of Eid. We're not too sure whether Eid is going to be tomorrow or not, as Hazrat Mufti Sahib has also mentioned, it depends on the sighting of the moon. But Hazrat Mufti Sahib, we deeply appreciate, we are indeed very honored that we have had you in our presence today, and even though when you were not with us, it was still an honor for us to have you on our Make Up Your Mind Q&A session. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect Hazrat Mufti Sahib and his family, and may Hazrat Mufti Sahib continue with the work that Hazrat Mufti Sahib is always doing with translations of excellent books, especially those from the Arabic into the English language. Wishing you all the best, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.